Yo, what's happening, everybody? Thanks again for tuning in to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. We're on season number two. I think it's volume number two of A Lot About Nothing right now. There's a lot of different things that's going on. I haven't been really podcasting a whole lot because I've been just really sitting back and just watching the landscape of the black community and how we continue to evolve, regress, and how do we measure success? How is cancel culture affecting our people, the things that we pay attention to? Are we really evolving? I'm watching our leaders. They are as unfocused as ever. And we as a people are as unfocused as ever. Our culture is up for sale. Nothing is private anymore. All of our traditions we have walked away from. The things that have worked and have been proven successful, we no longer emulate. The things that used to matter to us does not matter to us anymore. And to me, we're just all over the place. And the anchors of our social construct and our foundation of survival, community, peace, love, and happiness is just completely thrown out. Things that our grandmother and grandfather and their grandmother and grandfather worked hard for, shed blood for. And I'm not talking about fucking civil rights. I'm not talking about us voting. I'm not talking about us going to the same schools and eating at the same restaurants as white people. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the actual makeup and fabric of the black society and how we used to do things together. I am afraid that we will never get back to how things once were. I was thinking about this, and I talk about this all the time. Culturally, not only are we looked down upon by European societies, but specifically, if we look across the board, culturally, even from an African standpoint, specifically Nigerians, when it comes down to African Americans, is one in two things that they talk about that has been proven successful is education and family structure. And when you speak to them, you could tell that they look at us and say, you all lack both of those. And I'm here to say, and I'm not trying to put African Americans against Nigerians, for all the haters out there, I'm just speaking the truth. So don't try to take this down a rabbit hole. We could look at this from a Latino standpoint, a Filipino standpoint, an Asian standpoint, an Indian standpoint. Their family structure is more put together than the African American family structure. Oh yeah, it's true. But then I thought about it, and then I said, hold on. The same family values and togetherness that these different areas of people, culturally, what they use as a form of strength and togetherness, this is something that we used to have. The oldest sister in your family was an extension of your what? Mother. The older brother was an extension of your what? Father. And it wasn't that long ago to where not only, see, we didn't understand back then, but it was a privilege to get the leadership from your father and mother to show you how to lead a family, and you pass that down. So once they leave out of the house, your older brother and older sister leave out of the house, you can step right up and you'll be ready to lead as well. And then as a result of that, if you decide to do what? Start your own family, you'll know how to do what? Make rational decisions based on family traditions and teachings. Based on discipline, based on knowledge, based on repetition, based upon respect. And everything was grown out of love. These days, our family structure is basically the single black mother that's constantly telling and reminding not only the public, but other black men that they don't need what? A black man. It's horrifying. We have women these days, instead of telling their children, especially black girls, in regards to starting a family and getting married, live your life. Go out and have fun. What? Your grandmother's grandmother wouldn't have told you that. She would have told you to go out and find a good young man and start a family and start to expand. Your grandfather wouldn't have told your grandson, hey, look, you hit that corner, and you get out here and try to hit a lick or, you know what, try to get some Balenciagas. What? He would have told you, hey, listen, son, what I need for you to do is to get a skill trade so that way you will be able to feed your family and you won't have to ask anybody for anything. Your grandmother would have told her granddaughter that child support is a trap for your family. It's stripping away the generational wealth that could be going between your family and invested in everyone, including your what? Your husband. Not your baby daddy, your husband. Because guess what? When two people are separated, then that's the more expenses that it takes to actually run a family. You need people in one household. That's when you save the what? The most money. That's the reason why I have always admired portions of Hispanic population and the Latino population, because they understood that if we live together based on what? On survival, that we can live easier. Even if we live two men to a room. We got four rooms. We got eight people in the house. The house is the, let's just say, for instance, the rent costs $1,500. Divide that by eight. Everybody in the crib, every week, they bring it home $700 or better. Every week. Or let's just say, for instance, $500. That's $16,000 coming into that house in a month. These people are single. They don't have any children. Or if they do, they're in their respective places. And everybody is able to do what? Feed their family, because they're up under one household. They're up under one roof. There was a time that African Americans did the exact same thing. You still live with your mother. You still live with, you know, with your parents. And when you came home, hey, guess what? Even if you didn't live in the same house, your house is right over there across the yard, which your people owned. These days, what? Black people don't want to do anything together? I want to let you all know something. The reason why I said that our culture is for sale, let's touch on that. Do you all know that there's going to be a Freaknik, I guess, autobiography or some type of movie that's coming out? And it's going to be showing all the stuff that used to happen at spring break from young African Americans about 30 years ago. And everybody is saying that these people are adults now and this and this and this. And I'm saying, who came up with this damn idea? You want to know why? Because anything that they can, that you think that you could pull out of your closet full of skeletons to embarrass and embellish young African Americans, and also put out a negative persona about our people, guess what? These people will put it on the screen and they'll pay you really handsome for it. If there's anything that's negative that's going on with black people, it's going to be I mean, it's amazing. But you know what, though? I'm tired of asking why. I already know what it is. It's because we're the laughingstock. We're the entertainment. No one takes us serious. For real. Because they got to understand, you know, the only thing you're going to have to do is to put on some Young Jeezy or Earth, Wind & Fire and start barbecuing some ribs, show a couple diamonds, and people are going to be like, yeah, they don't got as much as me. I can sit back. I do this. I could do this, you know, standing on my head, and then they're going to start showing off the individualism, making them seem to stand out. But no one never wants to do the work. This is the reason why I said in podcasts back that to black people, racism is a scam. Because this is the only time that us as a people will want to get together and actually put in the work. If a white person uses the N-word, we get riled up. But we can hear the word itch coming from rappers. We can see that our church infrastructure is crumbling by the day. We can see that our kids are running wild by the day. They're using more drugs by the day. But guess what, though? Independence and freedom, both physically, mentally, spiritually, and financially, comes at a cost of responsibility. So the things that we really put effort into, like the Freaknik, ain't nobody trying to bring up that Girls Gone Wild shit that used to be on TV all the time and say, you know what, hold on, who was that? Stop the bullshit, man. Ain't nobody trying to pull up those girls and point them out that was in Hugh Hefner's Playboy magazine. Not one. And if they are bringing them up, then guess what? They trying to sue another black man. You better believe it. Somehow, some way, they are trying to impeach Clarence Thomas. And I know Black America don't want to talk about Clarence. Good old Clarence. Good old Uncle Tom Clarence. Yeah. But are you aware that if we ever tried to actually even sit down and talk to the man? Hell, we talked to Joe Biden. We talked to Kamala Harris. We've talked to several politicians who didn't even want to have anything to do with us. Turned out to done more harm than good. Bill Clinton, everybody. But we don't want to talk to our own guy that's over there. That seems as though that he's on the island. Clarence. Because we said that he hates black people. We think that he do. Check me if you want to. I'll sit down and I will listen to you. I think we should have made an attempt, a continuous attempt, to have an open dialogue, one of the highest powers that in black leadership, whether we like it or not, this is one of the highest powers position that a black man or woman has ever had consistently. But we say we want togetherness. We're on a one-track mind. Brandon Johnson, congratulations. He's the first black male mayor in the city of Chicago since the great Harold Washington. It was a slew of other black leaders or black candidates that went against Brandon. These people had enough nerves to call these people Uncle Toms. A lot of people did. Because of political affiliation. Now, I don't know the ins and outs of all of that. But just because somebody went, and I know for a fact, and I'm going to say this on my podcast, Willie Wilson, the great Willie Wilson, does much more for Black Chicago than anyone that I know. He puts his own money up, a self-made millionaire. He is more visible than any other millionaire in the city. This is the reason why I said that us as African Americans need to take a break from the political system altogether for at least 2 to 5 years just so we can focus on economics. I said it here. I've said it more than one time. This is the reason why I'm saying that our leadership is broken down because we don't even understand the basics of politics. We will allow, there is a video out right now of a young woman, young black woman, posturing, cursing out, being aggressive with a substitute teacher. She tried to hit the teacher. The teacher defended herself. And we have Black America blaming the teacher for defending herself. But we wonder why consistently when it's time for the literacy test to come up that black girls and boys are constantly below the literacy rate. And then we start to blame things on resources and on books and on computers and technology. The lack of good teachers. And then I thought about it. Because I don't care what's going on. A chemistry book is going to be a chemistry book. How to break down an atom is still the same if you have an outdated book. Just a new cover, same information. And even if that is the case, our children should be reading more efficiently than a sixth grade level when they're in high school. A semicolon is going to be a semicolon. A paragraph is going to be a paragraph, regardless of which book you're reading from. Don't give me this bullshit. Are we as a people having our children prepared for education when they leave home? Oh. Wow. Now we're back to that family structure that I talked about earlier. The importance of family structure, a family value, good old hard work. But instead, what we want to do is we want to work hard on the shit that don't really matter. My child got to have the ones. So guess what? They won't be bullied by other black children. Yeah. So they can be accepted. They got to have that. Oh, he got to have that. He got to have my child got to be clean. And then some just don't even give a damn to even dress their kids properly, let alone help them with their homework or even try to go to a parent-teacher conference meeting to try to get them to try to get their kids involved in the civic club or the beta club or an after school program where they could actually learn a skill. And then we wonder why that when our kids are going to college that they don't know anything about the student loan that they're signing. Because guess what? You didn't save enough money. You didn't get the 529 college plan. Instead, you was what? Doing what? Kicking it in the hood every weekend instead of investing in your children and getting those college savings bonds. Somebody stop me when I'm lying. Another thing that goes back to family values. Are you really preparing your children to be the best version of themselves? Grandmothers are not, these days, are not preparing dinner on Sundays. We don't even, what we call dinner now on Sundays is burrito tacos, y'all. We don't even gather at an actual table anymore and say grace. Are you kidding me? We don't have time for that. Somebody's over there with their headphones on. Another person is over there texting. When do you communicate with your family then? See, but guess what though? We want our kids to do what? Oh, well, they just went viral. These kids are growing up without an idea of consequence. Because guess what? They have not learned about restriction. They have not learned about, you know what? If you do this and you do this, then this happens. But let one of those damn white police get out there and put their ass on the ground really hard. Now we got smoke for the police department. Now it's all types of things going around. Oh, defund the police. And see, at first I was really digging into that shit because some of it is true. A lot of it is true. But goddamn it, you better make sure you raising your damn kids though. See, there was a time that we used to actually, the white people used to be the laughing stock. Saying, damn, they let their kids do that? They let their kids do that? We didn't do that. Black people don't do that. Because guess what? We had more conservative values.
I wish I would have came home and told my mama, you know what, if I go to school, I see other kids in there getting dressed as something that they were not when they left home, and it's another person in there that we don't know is telling them that that's okay. I wish I would have came home and told my mom and daddy that. They would have burnt rubber up to that damn school. And see, the pandemic exposed it all. When they had to be at home with their children, spending time. You work from home, you ate from home. The next thing you know, on social media, you've seen it everywhere. Man, dang, I can't wait till these kids go back to school. For what? They yours. What you was really saying is that I don't want to raise them. That when they're gone to work, I could sit back and smoke me a cigarette and I could chill with my people and we could just talk a whole lot of bullshit about nothing. And then when they come home, you know what? I could have them, you know, some fried chicken or something like that. No vegetables, French fries. And they could go in there and turn on the game and play the game until 10 or 11 o'clock, sometimes 12 o'clock, once, sometimes 1 o'clock. And then they get up and repeat the same cycle. You're not embedding anything in them. We're not embedding anything in them. So, of course, when they get out here in the world, they're automatically maneuvered or outmaneuvered because they don't know how to think. Intellectually, what are you saying to them? You're letting them go out into a toxic neighborhood. You're letting them be unsupervised. You're allowing them to feed into different types of ideologies. You're not following them when they're on their phones. You're not demanding that the TV goes off and nothing, and I mean nothing, is being watched until everything is done and the dishes are washed and the. What? Who's really doing these things, y'all? So all around the United States, in all of these urban black schools, what we've seen today is being duplicated 1,000 times a day. A kid, a young black kid that's being unruly, overly aggressive, and disrespectful because they did not have the guidance and leadership at home. And they think that when they come to school and they deal with the adults, that they could do what? Limit test and be overly aggressive. And guess what? If something happens to them, their parents will bail them out. But guess what? In the real world, that shit don't work like that, because if your kid get out of here and get out of line, they could lose their goddamn life to the fucking police. Do you hear what I'm saying? Or they could lose their life to somebody else because in their mind, they're thinking they could do whatever they want to, and the world don't work like that. Get your little ass somewhere and sit down with your children and pour God into them. We wonder why our religious foundation is crumbling. You want to know why? Because at this point, people want to feel good. People want to feel good, and they want you to tell them exactly what's going on. They don't want to talk about the scenario, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Oh, that's in the Old Testament.
They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. They will never, they won't say it. But they don't want to address the real animal in the room. Hey, look, black men are simply not comfortable with having black women in the pulpit. We're not comfortable with it. We've never been comfortable with it. So guess what? You want to know why? Because that man that's right there, that's constantly been running circles around y'all, you know what? If we was right there, we'd tell him, hey, look here, man. You're going to have to get up out of here, my brother. You could do this by choice or you could do it by force. Because men are in here. How are we gonna raise strong Christian men when the men aren't there? And why aren't the Christian women saying, my brothers, what can we do to bring y'all back? But guess what, though? These things are plastered all over social media as black culture is for sale, y'all. Because black culture is for sale. This diamond, this bling bling culture is plastered everywhere. I can promise you at any given time, while we're saying that it's unemployment and all of these things, we have nothing. I can promise you at any given time, just pay attention one day. Go to Instagram. Go to TikTok. And just look at the amount of just money and jewelry that's being flashed on a day-to-day basis. Just money and jewelry. We're not going to even include the cars, the clothes, the shoes. Just money and jewelry on a day-to-day basis. You'll probably come up in the billions. In the billions. At least 100 million. At least. The amount of money that's being flashed, the amount of money and luxury that's being shown, even if they don't maintain it for a month, they still had it then in their hand. It was in their possession. So you mean to tell me that we couldn't at least for one day put that money together and practice group economics? Our focus isn't there. That's the reason why our political system is in a downtrodden scenario. We don't even want to pass on leadership. It's people in there that's 85 years old. Come on, man, retire. It's people that's in our church that's almost 80 some years. Come on, man. Retire. Give somebody else a shot. Mentor somebody. You hear the word sometime. What? You want to know why? They don't want to leave because they still want that $1,100 a month every other Sunday. That's been carrying them for the longest time. They still want to come out to the people and be like, hey, look, I won again. But check this out. If you was really putting your family in a better position, then you'd be like, hey, look, I got such and such. I got such and such. If the church was really bringing the people up, training them in the ways of God, hey, that person over there, hey, brothers, you know what? Hey, look, man, look, we go over here and sit back. Hey, y'all come to the front and y'all be the deacons now. We done did everything that we could do. If you have any questions, we right here, but it's y'all turn right now because y'all generation need to see y'all in charge.
Not us. Our generation has been ushered on. This is the crumbling part of our foundation. Do you really, really think? Think about this. The chances of a 75-year-old man outsmarting a 32-year-old man, a 35-year-old man, a 50-year-old man in their prime. They're in the prime of their life. This is the smartest that they've ever been. 9 times out of 10, that 50-year-old to 30, that 30 to 50-year-old is going to be able to deliver more than that 70-year-old or more than that 75-year-old. Come on, y'all. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. I know you don't like to hear it, but it is what it is. And until we start to love one another, I've been told y'all, you know what? There is an issue with these violent crimes, and they keep the killings keep getting younger and younger. It's an issue when our boys do not want to talk to each other. See, now one thing that I will say, and I got to give these people their credit. You know what? These Crip dudes, these Blood dudes, these Gangsta Disciples, these Vice Lords, these people out here in these gangs, they are so consistent. They are very, very consistent in what they believe in. And they'll let you know, I'm willing to do what? Die for this. If it's one thing that's been consistent in our community, it's that type of ideology. And these people are willing to die. They are willing to leave their families. They are willing to do everything on the banals that they would, on their gang and on their beliefs. When are we as a people going to be like, hey, look, we don't care what's going on and what you say. Guess what? We locked in and we are willing to do what? Die for the next generation. We're going to sacrifice our needs and wants for the next generation. We are willing to lay down. If we have to lay down, if there is a cross of a bridge and there is no way other to get down, then guess what? We are going to be the actual boards or the cement and just tell them, hey, look, remember what I taught you, but we got to go and have them to walk on our backs to get to the other side. To get to the other side. And if we make it, oh well. If we don't, oh well. To uplift our own people? Are you crazy? Of course we have to have that mindset. But instead, you know what we're going to do? We're going to continue to call these kids lazy. We're going to continue to call them unmotivated. We're going to continue to call them misguided. But who's willing to take the time to motivate and guide them? We're going to continue to tell our women, you know what, it's okay for you to have a Jezebel spirit. We're going to continue to tell them that. We're going to continue to have to let these people poison the minds. Come on, y'all. And they're basing these things off of nothing. They're just coming up with the idea off of nothing. And we know that this is wrong. We know it's wrong. And we know that it feels uncomfortable. But guess what? We still go along with it. We still go along with it. All of these people, all of the people that's out there that's saying, you know what? My body, my choice. This and this and this and this and this. Yeah, get mad at me. I'm going there. But ain't nobody saying, well, you know what? Well, why are black women dying so much when they have children? Ain't nobody questioning that. Ain't nobody questioning, you know what? Why is it that black children are so amped to have autism more than anybody else? Ain't nobody saying it. Ain't nobody asking these questions because guess what? We have one thing and one thing in mind, and that's what these people are telling us we should be thinking about. We can forget about history. We can put that on a back burner too. Because hell, you know what? It's a lot of trauma back there. Ain't nobody really. What's not being publicized is that doctor that's graduating from Grambling. Or that new engineer that's graduating from FAMU. Or one of the best dentists, dental hygienists that's graduating from Texas Southern. But we want to focus on Kobe, LeBron James, and Dwayne Wade, and Kevin Durant, and Floyd Mayweather. Your children are not going to be them. We can send them off in proms and Mustangs and all of these fancy dresses and everything. But guess what? Where they going to stay at? You're going to want to put them out when they're 18? They lost. Some of them are going to be lost. If they have a child, you don't want to support or help support your family. And that's your own grandchild. Instead of putting some rules down and saying, hey, look, you came out, you had a baby young. You know what? I did the same thing. Don't worry about it. But check this out. Y'all can live here, but it's going to be some rules that's going to be happening here, though. See, this is where, again, this is where we coming back to family structure at, y'all. What? I'm going to say it one more time. What in my Lil Jon voice? You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to get that out. But we constantly show, again, our culture is up for sale. We constantly show black women constantly putting black men down. We're constantly showing black men saying, you know what, if a black woman has a child and she's what? No good. What? Are you kidding me? Come on, y'all. And now it's gotten to a point to where they're using the marriage system against us. But guess what? Back in the day, you didn't have to be married through the court to be married. Once you started your family, hey, y'all get, they used to call it shacking up. Put that ring on that woman's finger, man, and go head on. You in a different zone right now. We're not raising husbands. We're not raising wives. For the most part, we're not. Are we raising, if we looked at it like this right now, as of right now, are we raising future leaders to run the world? More or less, not even the community, the world. The answer to that is no. I'll say it. It's sad, but it's no. Because we don't want to put in the work. We don't want to say, hey, look here, man. We're going to step back from this club thing for a minute. We're going to tell, you know what I'm saying? We're going to tell Pablo them, hey, look here, man. If y'all bring, you know what I'm saying? If y'all bring this fentanyl over here, bro, we got something for you. We don't want to release the power of those red and blue flags and those gang signs. Yeah. People don't want to release that, these type of things. These are vices, y'all. Yeah. They don't want to release these things because then guess what? What do you have? What's going to make you you? How are you going to concentrate? How are you going to live your day-to-day life? Hello, somebody. Is our culture really for sale? How many documentaries are we going to see of drug dealers, gangsters, hoes, pimps, players? And at the end of the day, they lose it all. They lose it all. And it's a shame. But then it's only one thing that some of them actually have time to digress on. And that's was when they're in confinement. And they have no other choice because they're stripped from their mentality. They have no other choice but to focus on themselves. And they look deep. Well, they don't even look deep inside themselves. They notice who they really are. And then, boom, it hits them. Oh, I'm a lawyer. Oh, I'm a stockbroker. Oh, I'm a storyteller. Oh, I'm a motivational speaker. Oh, I'm good at business. Or I'm a construction engineer. All of these things. If you listen to these people that's coming out of the jails, or if you listen to people who confine themselves to rediscover who they are, they're going to let you know, hey, look, I had to do what? Separate. See, this is what we need to do. We need to separate. The community is not ready to separate from the world. Come on, man. If we can add up the amount of money in one weekend that's spent on three things: cigarettes, Hennessy, and tequila. Just one weekend, let alone 6 months. I can promise you we'll be a new people. Everybody talking about a challenge. That's a hell of a challenge. Can we do it? Not for no boycott. For ourselves to lay it down one day at a time. If we could do it for one weekend, everybody in the country, if we could do it. Since we say, hold on. See, this is the cap that people be talking. Oh, we're God's chosen people. Oh, we this. Oh, we this. This is the bullshit. They keep feeding you because they want you to feel comfortable within yourself. They want you to feel comfortable within your failure. But when it's time to put in the work, who's willing to stand up and stand on what they say? We are scared because of the weakness. that these things possess and they bring out of us. But if we're able to do it, oh my God. Somebody raise your hand with me. If we're able to do it, oh my God. What a marvelous defeat that we will have over the people that has came in to seek and destroy. I don't even know where this is coming from right now. But if we're able to do it, oh my God. Talk about a transformation. We might just see the sunshine. Or that tunnel, or that crab in the barrel mentality. Somebody might just come along and tip that thing over. And let everybody in there just go and run out. Because one thing for sure and two things for certain, crabs just don't get in no goddamn barrel. Somebody had to put you there. That combative spirit that we have going against each other. Oh my God, one weekend of just nothing. That might just cure us and say, hey, look, you know what, man? Just drop it, bro. Can we come back in the house? Can we pull it back? Can we grab our son and say, hey, listen, look, you are not going nowhere this weekend. What we gonna do is do this. We're gonna sit up. We finna get out here and mow the yard. Woman, bring your butt back in the house. I just want to cook for my family one time and sit down and enjoy us as a family. What? You mean to tell me you ain't going out with your... No. No, baby. And you ain't neither. We're not doing... Nope. For one weekend, Saturday, Sunday... Y'all think about some of this stuff. Thanks again for tuning in to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. We're on season 2. I don't even have a title yet, but is our culture for sale? Is our leadership failing us? Will we sacrifice our needs and wants for the next generation? Man, y'all have a great evening. I'm gonna holla. Hey, yo. Check out Anchor. Check out Spotify. Check out the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. I'm always live on Facebook, Cooking in the Hood with Rome. Man, y'all follow me on Twitter. Facebook, Jerome Thornton. I'm a holler, man. It's been good.